I always share that at a conference just because it's so easy to look at someone, you know, when they're all cleaned up and thank you. And, you know, we clean up nice, don't we? We all can look good on the outside. But, you know, you never know what somebody's gone through. And I remember one time when I was actually really young and I was working at this restaurant. I was waitressing. And I was witnessing to this girl. I'd just come to know the Lord. And she looks at me, you know, with a lot of hardness, and she just said, you don't know what I have gone through, Michelle. And I was like, oh, yes, I do. And then I was able to share my story with her. And there's, you know, it's funny how I've seen that so many times, and my mom was there during that taping. I really prayed about what to say. And I always do. In every book and everything I do, I really pray over what does God want me to say. And it was really early on in ministry. You know, after you've gone through all those kind of things, you want to get cleaned up and you want everybody to look at you and think you're really together, to be honest. You know, you're like, I just, you know, I'm a worship leader now. And I remember when I was leading worship and I was just starting out in ministry, and I wanted people to see me and just think, oh, she's together, because I was so not together for so long. And the Lord really convicted my heart. And he said to me, Michelle, what is this about? What is your ministry about? Who do you want people to see? Do you want them to see you? Or do you want them to see what I've done through you? And I have never, ever looked back from that time of sharing my story with women and with people. Because if I don't share my story with you, then you don't see the miraculous God that has saved me, that has redeemed me. That has restored me. And it's amazing that when you see, it doesn't matter how many times your testimony, you know, and we get so far away from it sometimes as leaders because we start teaching, we start doing things. And so when I brought God Crazy together, when I brought all these women, the first thing I said to them is, you got to share your story, no matter what, because it's really what changes people. I can tell you the 5 points of how to become a great success. That's not going to transform your heart the way my story and my journey would. So tonight I'm going to talk to you about surrender. And on paper, many of you may feel very disqualified. On paper, I'm disqualified. I'll just tell you that right now. I am definitely disqualified. But God qualifies the called. And if he says, I want you to do something, he will educate you. He will equip you. And if he chooses, he will elevate you. If you stay in a place of surrender. And if your only agenda is to simply say yes, and that's all I did. That's the only difference between me and somebody else who's still sitting in the front seat of the car with her hands gripped on the wheel, saying, I am going to stay in control of this car. The only difference is I'm getting in the back seat and I'm saying, you got control. And I will go where you want me to go. And I will do what you want me to do. And I will say what you want me to say. And let me tell you, when you've walked through those dark places, like Leah, like many of you, you do praise. Because you get to the place where you say, I don't have the answers. I don't do a good job driving the car. I need you to drive the car for me. I need God. I need him to have the strength to be here before you. And I can tell you, Paige did too. We don't have the ability in ourselves to do all God's called us to do. That's impossible. We don't have the ability. We don't have the time. I don't have the education. I never have. When God first started calling me, the first thing I said is, why? You've got Ann Graham Lotz. You've got Beth Moore. You've got all these great people. Why me? Because you may look at me today and think, oh, she can get up in front of people. She can talk. But let me tell you, there was a day where I was so physically ill if I had to get up and talk. Not just to talk, but to say a prayer request in Sunday school. I mean, literally, physically ill. I had so much fear of speaking. I had so much fear of a lot of things. Fear enslaved me. It controlled my life for many years. What I want to say to you tonight is, what might we imagine for ourselves? God has something so great for you. Let me tell you, I couldn't imagine anything for myself for so many years. And if I did, it was so very little. I was just like, Lord, if I could just have the crumbs from the table, I'm fine. Because that's all I felt I ever deserved, to be honest with you. I remember when I first started dating, I felt so unworthy that I would just be like, if you want a Coke, I'll have some of it. You don't even have to get me one. I'm just so satisfied with just having whatever is left over. Ladies, God has a banqueting table for you. And he is inviting each and every one of you to that table. And all he says is, come empty. Come empty so that I can meet you there. I can meet you there and take you places. Let me tell you, he has taken me places. Not only did I never thought I could go, I never imagined going. Never. And it all started with that first day I said yes. That very first day that I said yes. Dying to self doesn't mean becoming nothing. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you just become nothing. It means you allow Jesus to fill you so you can become everything that he has called you to be. He meets you and he empowers you to release your gifts. And in releasing your gifts, it ignites your purpose. And let me just tell you, there's a lot of things I've done, and I'm going to share just a little of the things that God is, the little bit of the journey, because, again, my story is going to encourage you. And one of the things that God, the first things that God called me to, I remember the first time he asked me to speak, and a woman came up to me at church, and she just said, I'd like you to speak at the women's retreat. I don't know why she thought I should speak. I wasn't doing anything in church. I wasn't really active. I was leading worship, but other than that, I wasn't one of the leaders or anything. She had never heard me speak, but God must have put it on her heart that I had something to say. And let me tell you, I just did it because I knew that God said, I want you to be obedient and do it. I did not want to do it. And that week, my kids got sick. I mean, really sick. I was having to go up into the mountains in Colorado in the freezing cold up one of the highest hills. That they picked a resort way up on this high hill. And I was so fearful of doing all of that. And yet I knew God said go, and so I went. And I remember sitting there that night, just sitting on that front row, and there were so many times that I had felt this very same way where all of a sudden, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you're almost having a panic attack, like fear just begins to come over you and it breaks down your mind and it breaks down your spirit and you begin to just suddenly just panic. And all that started to happen to me again. My mom remembers when I grew up playing piano and I would never do well in recitals because I was so nervous. My hands would be so sweaty that they would come off the keys. I mean, I just could never get past and overcome in that area. And so here I am that same night sitting there just petrified. And suddenly I just felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, do not fear, for I am with you. And it's so simple. But we don't understand when we come empty. That's exactly where he wants us. He wants us at that place where we need him to do what he's called us to do. He joins and meets us there, and he releases our gifts as we walk in obedience. And we just step out. It doesn't mean you do nothing. It means we step out. And we still are fearful. There is not one thing I have ever done where I wasn't afraid. Okay, I'm just telling you right now, not one. I'm still afraid. I'm running a restaurant right now. And every day, I have 15 employees. You know, I'm doing it with my husband. I have my children. We've got ministry. And every single day, I'm having to go to the Lord and say, I can't do this. I need you. That's where he wants us. He wants us staying in a surrendered state. Surrender is not just surrendering on the mountaintops. It's surrendering in the moments. Leah had many mountaintops. But what about the daily moments that she had? What about the daily moments that you have? Where your daughter calls you and says, Mom, I was just in a car accident. That happened last week. Or your son calls you and he's on the side of the road with a flat tire on the freeway, and you start imagining a huge truck coming by and hitting him. I mean, you know, that's just, I'm a mother, so I'm like, oh my gosh, are you on the side? Are you way off? You know, and you start thinking, and I have to surrender it to the Lord. It's in those moments that we trust him with our children, with our husbands, with our life, and with our work. Every single moment, every single day I get up, it's not a one-time thing where he comes and opens up the hood and says, okay, you're good, surrender, you're God, go get up, get back on the road, you're great. No, every single day he has to open that hood and say, what baggage is in there? What does she have that I have to now work on? How many of you know that surrender is a process? Okay, I have not arrived, ladies. I have not arrived. I'm always going, okay, I just want to make sure that I'm in the back seat with my hands up because I don't want to go through anything. I'm like, Lord, you got me, okay? Just show me. If you want me to do it, trust me, I'm there. Because I know what it looks like to be in the desert. I know what it looks like to be in the desert. But you know what? The desert makes us stronger. It makes us stronger. It strengthens us. Every moment of overcoming is an opportunity of growth. Every single moment of overcoming. I can tell you right now, everything I've had to overcome, everything. When I went through that divorce, let me tell you, it took me a year to be able to really function again. And 10 years to be able to feel like a normal person again. Those stolen things that the enemy has come and robbed you of, God wants to restore. He will restore if we praise, if we praise, if we don't become bitter. And that's a process too. I'll tell you what, that first year after my divorce, I was angry. I was angry because he was causing me to hate. I didn't even want to hate. I've never hated anything or anyone. And here I was hating a person because of what I felt that person had done to me. And then God got my attention and said, let's look at you. Because in looking, if you allow God to look at you, it will allow you to forgive others. And that's what I did. I focused on, what do I need to change? How can I grow from this? How can I become better from this? How can I praise in this? And let me tell you, it was a process. But just like Paige said, that moment when I began to praise is the moment that God began to propel me forward. A willing heart, a willing mind, a willing voice, and you will yourself to those choices in a sense, with a sense of determination. Unstoppable faith is when God releases an unstoppable joy in your life. It does take a fight. It takes determination. It's so important that you understand that. Because nothing you go through is going to be easy. Everything is going to be about walking through the battle and understanding that in an act of surrender and saying, you know, I'm going to praise regardless of what I'm going through. And suddenly that weight will be lifted from your shoulders. I want to have some time tonight to pray, so I'm just going to go through some closing statements with you of a surrendered heart. A surrendered heart responds to life issues in the spirit and not the flesh. A surrendered heart responds to life issues in the spirit and not the flesh. A surrendered heart depends on Christ for their very existence, exactly what I talked about. You know what? I can't do it without you, Lord. I need you. I need you to walk through what you've called me to. I remember, just real quickly, I had this dream about this, and in my dream, this girl stole my shoes. I mean, yeah, she stole my shoes. I like shoes. Okay, maybe it was a nightmare. And I thought, Lord, you know, why did I dream that she stole my shoes? And he really showed me the importance of focusing and walking in the authority he's called you to, and understanding not to want anybody else's shoes, and understanding that he will walk in those shoes with you. He suddenly revealed to me all these things about shoes, because I always said to him, Lord, those shoes are way too big for me to fill. And what he showed me is that so many times we want to walk in someone else's shoes. And guess what? You better be careful what you want, because you don't know the shoes they've walked in, and you don't know what it's taken for them to get there. I can tell you right now, some of the greatest leaders that I have interviewed and met have the hardest stories. The hardest stories. A surrendered heart submits to a renewing of your mind and your thought life. A surrendered heart allows God to heal them. A surrendered heart allows God to meet their needs, not medicating on other things. And I really want to emphasize that last point, because it is so easy in our culture to medicate on so many things. Things as simple as Facebook, or, you know, watching constant television, all these different distractions, and that's why we did that skit. How many distractions do you have in a day? A surrendered heart just says, Lord, I come empty before you. The moment something happens, the moment you get a phone call and there's somebody on the other end saying a bad report, it's in those surrendered moments that God does something inside of you, and he empowers you in those moments, and he strengthens you in those moments. Brant, you want to come up here? A surrendered heart is about a yielded spirit, and tonight, as you go home, we wanted to give one last opportunity for tonight, this evening, for you to come and just really get before the Lord. And if you need to go, that's fine. But I wanted to give one last opportunity for y'all to come up here and be prayed for again by our leaders, and to come before him with that surrendered heart. You know what? He has something for you way beyond you could ever imagine. I always say God wrote my bio. Because let me tell you, you can ask my mom, the only plan I had for my life, and this was a wonderful plan, I absolutely adore my children. They are my greatest treasure. My greatest treasure. But God saw something in me beyond that. I was the reluctant leader, okay? I was Moses. Lord, I'm not eloquent enough, you know? I'm not cool enough. I always felt like a geek most of my life. I mean, I really was the reluctant leader. And still, honestly, many times I am. Because you know what? I am so fulfilled. I'm so fulfilled and just family. I love being home with my family. I love being with my husband. And even as a single mom, God brought me to the place, and it took a long time. It took about 7 years as a single mom to get to the place where I felt whole with him. Without a man. I love my husband, and he is the most amazing man, and he's usually at every conference, but he's running our restaurant tonight. He He's going to stop in and peek in tomorrow for a second. He's bringing our lunch. But as much as I love him, he's just icing on the cake. His God is my everything. He's my everything. And so as we sing this song tonight and we close, if you need prayer, if you're still struggling, if there's still something you need to let go of, whether it's forgiveness, whatever it is, God knows, he sees. I just want you to come before him, and we're here to pray for you. Tomorrow morning, just so you know, we start at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be amazing. We'll have more time of worship. We'll have an opportunity again for you to be prayed for. We're allowing as many times as we can for you to be prayed for. That's so important. This is for you. This is for you, ladies. We want you to have an opportunity for transformation every chance you get while you're here.